Hey, you, it's a blind life. Welcome back to the It's a Blind Life podcast. My name is Aria.
And I'm Mel.
And we are two legally blind sisters who made a podcast because we wanted to talk about our lives. And so that's what we do. We talk about our lives as blind people, how we do things, a lot of other different topics. It's a variety show. We talk about what we want, when we want. And that's how it goes. So that being said, today's topic of conversation is how we do certain hobbies. So the reason we're talking about this is because it is, I feel like maybe stereotype is the best word, that if you are disabled or if you're blind or anything like that, that like you kind of just sit at home all day.
You're a vegetable.
And you're a vegetable. You stare off into space. You do nothing. And that is so far from the truth. There are so many people that we know that have a whole variety of different hobbies.
Or if you are, in our case, if you are Belle, you cannot sit down.
Correct. Yeah.
Belle, I don't relax.
Belle has to be busy at all times. Mine's different, though. I need to be distracted at all times.
You need to be distracted, and literally you could give her a piece of string and she'll be fine for a couple hours.
I am very easily amused and distracted. Yes,
really?
This is
true. So, like, for Aria, it doesn't really matter. But she's doing something. It might not be
anything productive.
Anything productive.
But I am doing something.
It may be messing with a piece of string.
But it is something.
But she is messing with a piece of string.
Correct. So, like we said, that's kind of the stereotype. We're going to talk about how that is the furthest thing from the truth. And what we do, how we do it, all that jazz. So, do you want me to start listing hobbies I did and do now?
I was about to say that was going to be my first question. Are we going back to beginning times?
We're talking about it all.
Okay. Well, do we want to first start with, like, growing up our conjoint hobbies? Because, like,
yeah, we can. Well, because, okay, so when I was really little, reading was a huge thing for me. If you've listened to Blind Girls Book Talk, you will know that I loved reading ever since I was little. So that became a huge hobby for me. And for that one, I was very stubborn. I didn't use I used large print when I could, but, you know, when things weren't available in large print, I figured it out. You know, I read smaller stuff. And as I got older, I brute forced my way through a lot of small print. Now that I'm older, I typically try to make things a little happier for my eyeballs, but
Kindle, man.
Yeah, Kindle is great.
And
Audible is great.
So it used to be I didn't read because we found out later that I have a rare type of dyslexia. And so, like, it would make learning to read and reading very difficult for me. And, you know, like, small children learn to read. They read out loud. I can't do that necessarily properly. Like, I can read perfectly fine. It's not that. It's I can't read out loud. So learning to read was a very difficult and frustrating thing for me because I would skip words. Like, I would read them in my head, but, like, saying them, I wouldn't say them. And then once we figured that out and, like, I started getting training to fix that, then I started reading, then I didn't put a book down.
Mm-hmm.
And I got around the rule that was started because of Aria, which was no books at the table. I got around that.
I'm still upset about that.
You are still upset about
still
that.
I'm still salty about that. But yeah, so reading has become a huge part of both of our lives, hence book talk and why that exists. But yeah, so that has always been a huge one for me. From there, probably the next really big hobby was horseback riding.
Which we both
did. Horseback ride. Oh, well, actually, no, that's a lie, but I'll backtrack. But horseback riding was a huge part of my life. I absolutely loved it. I miss it now. Huge
part of both of our lives.
Yeah, it was huge. Loved it. I miss it. It was so fun. And we learned to ride from a therapeutic riding instructor. So pretty much there are special like horseback riding teachers and special like stables and stuff.
So
that are like they're trained to deal with people with different disabilities.
It's kind of like if anybody has watched the show Heartland.
Mm-hmm.
It's that like in later seasons where they have like that horse rehabilitation place to help like troubled youth. It's kind of like that,
mm-hmm.
except with people with like physical disabilities.
Yeah, and the horses are like specially trained so that they're not reactive. Like all the horses that our horseback riding teacher had, like kids would run right under them.
There were so many times where we would throw on a saddle and we'd like literally just crouch down and walk under the belly of the horse. Don't do that.
Yeah, you're not supposed to do that.
Don't do that. Severely don't do that. However, our horses were so well trained
that they didn't care. They didn't move.
It
took a lot to spook those horses.
Yes.
And even then,
it was a rare occasion that you would have a horse buck or rear or anything.
Yeah, these horses were amazing because they are trained to deal with different people on like the autism spectrum who, you know, are nonverbal and they're moving around and they're making a lot of noise and like a normal horse that would spook, you know, but these horses were trained to deal with those kind of things.
Or you'd have people who have like really bad like bone structure and bone issues and things like that. So like a fall could severely harm them.
Yeah.
So, you know, you need the horse to not like react badly to like
anything.
A loud noise.
Yeah.
Of like a bucket of water falling.
Yeah.
You need the horse not to, you know, spook by that to have that person fall and then be severely injured. Not just saying accidents didn't happen, because I mean both Arya and I were bucked off once.
I fell off.
Fell off close enough.
No, I wasn't bucked. I stayed on every time that a horse is bucked. I have stayed on. I have not fallen.
I got bucked by Arya's horse, and it was because a raindrop spooked him.
Yeah, but also he wasn't quite well trained
as he was a
some
jerk.
Of the other horses.
He was because a jerk.
There were certain horses that were kind of like, they were her horses, but they were for like pretty much anybody who came to the barn to ride, they had like their option to pick through like 5 to 10 horses, something like that. Depended on when it was in
depended
time.
On when it was and who was there. Most of the time for me, if I showed up and Arya was also with me, it was Arya would get her horse. My horse was still a baby. He was also a jerk. Never rode him. Thank goodness I never did. I probably would have died. He was evil. But Arya would get her horse, which was fine. And then she'd be like,
because I was the only one he would listen to.
Yeah. Yet I showed him. But I would get told by our instructor, oh, Belle, go get Sally or go get Nugget or go get another one of her family members' horses. A lot of the times I'd be riding Twist. It was always like, just go get this horse. And that's who you're riding today.
And all of those horses that she mentioned were like barn horses that were very much trained. Like they would
barn horses or their family horse, like,
which were Twist also was, very well trained.
Yeah. Twist was not one of her horses. It was what, her niece's?
I think so. Yeah.
Something like that. Horse. Beautiful creature. I loved him.
Oh, I loved the anyway.
Off on a tangent.
So yeah, so those were great. But when we rode, we both showed horses, yes. And we both started out in the therapeutic riding track. Which there were two different kinds of classes. We're not going to get into that. We might talk about this a different day.
Yeah, but we both showed that.
And then when I hit a certain point, because I was started writing in elementary school, when I hit middle school is when I started showing what we call games. And games are...
That's your rodeo. That's what you see in a rodeo. Yeah, that's barrels, your, poles.
Yes. Yeah, that is all of those. And I did youth rodeos as well. And I wasn't great by any stretch of the imagination.
You were good at poles.
I was better at poles, but everybody had kind of their own event that they were decent at. Poles was probably my best one.
You were good at poles. I suck at poles.
When you show, you kind of have kind of like special shows that you go to, that if you do really well at those special shows, you go to a higher level show. And then if you do well at that show, you go to the highest level show.
Yeah. So like and for us, it starts at our town fair.
Yes.
It starts at our county fair and we show the last Sunday of the fair. And then, well, that's if you're in therapeutic. It's Saturday if you were games.
Right. And so...
And then from there, you went up to districts.
And then states.
And then states.
And so pretty much when I did games, I never qualified to go to districts. And that was okay. Because really, I just wanted... Games was kind of what all the other, like, big kids did, kind of. And I wanted to be a big kid. And so I wanted to do it. And I did. And I had a lot of fun because there is something that's just super fun about just getting on a horse and riding as fast as you possibly can around a barrel or around a pole. Like, it's just really fun. So that, for me, that was all it ever was. It was just having fun and riding really fast and, you know, doing what I could. So that was always a really good time.
For me, I only ever showed therapeutic.
Yeah,
I stopped and got into something different right before I started games.
Yeah, right before you were the age.
Right before I, like, was going to start. I was already prepped. I was really good at barrel racing, which our instructor laughs at because she thinks out of the two of us, it should be switched, that she thought I would be better at poles and Aria would be better at barrel racing. We just like to prove her wrong, but I was good at barrels.
I feel like I wanted to be better at barrels.
Oh,
like,
I wanted to be a master at poles. And then I did it once, and I was like, I hate this.
Yeah, I think we are backwards, like truly backwards from what we want to be good at versus what we are actually good at. But yeah, so that was a lot of fun. A lot of good times were had. We'll talk about horseback riding stories a whole nother day.
Yeah.
The next one that actually should have went before horseback riding was dance. So before we found out about my vision, when I was little, I was put into dance classes. It didn't go well. I mean, it
didn't
never...
almost like fall off the stage.
Yeah, I did. And I think I spent the whole first recital I ever was in, like, just twirling. Like, I was just doing my own
thing. I feel like that's a lot of little girls. Only reason I didn't do it is because I was with you for a lot before I, like, actually started.
Yeah. So that is what a lot of little girls do. But yeah, I think I twirled so much I almost fell off the stage. But yeah, that was a whole time. Belle's dance stories are a whole lot different. And I'm going to leave it up to her what she wants to tell, because there's a lot there. Again, this might be a whole nother different day conversation if she wants. But for me, it was never that serious, because when we found out about my vision and we found out, like, I couldn't do sports, you know.
Horseback,
like,
riding and dance were our parents' way of getting us into, active.
Yes.
And anybody who wants to argue with me that horseback riding is not an active sport, I dare you to go shuck hay bales and lift a saddle. I dare you.
Tell that to my thigh muscles.
Honestly.
But yeah. So dance was kind of the big one for getting me active. And it was really just for fun. The other one that they tried to get me into when I was younger was I did, like, swimming lessons. But they didn't let me, like, actually go to the level where you could, like, join, like, the swim team at, like, the YMCA or something. So I kind of just learned to swim, and then that was it.
So, I didn't even have that. I was taught to swim by a marine at our aunt's.
Yeah.
It was a sink or swim.
Yeah. Yeah. So dance was the big one. Horseback riding was the other big one of me being active. So yeah, that was those. Then do you want to talk about dance at all or not?
Yeah,
really?
I can. My dance was different than Aria's. So for me, I started kind of dancing very, very early, and it was because of Aria and the 8-year age gap we have. Mm-hmm. So whenever Aria would have class, of course, our mom would have to take me. You can't leave a small, small child mm-hmm. home alone. So like I'd go with her, and, you know, I would be allowed to just kind of run around the studio. They really did not care for me.
No.
To run anywhere.
Yeah. They let you do whatever.
They let me do whatever I want. And I'm just now realizing that.
Yes.
Because if any of the other little girls did that,
they would be in so much trouble.
They would be so much trouble. I would run in. I got to stretch with the big girls. I got to do some stuff like first activities with the big girls, like for warm-ups and stuff. I was so happy.
Yeah.
And then I started very early after that.
Mm-hmm.
I started earlier than what a child probably should be put into dance at. And I danced. I was kind of not big into it until I turned 13.
Mm-hmm.
And dance is the reason I stopped horseback riding by the time I hit games. But dance, looking back now, dance became very much an escape for me. Whenever I was 13, I got my first pair of pointe shoes and I excelled with it. But I also used that as an emotional escape because it was that year that we lost our grandma.
Mm-hmm.
So dance was very much in, I'm just going to cope with this and mm-hmm. it's just going to be this. But I did every form of dance except acrobatics. I do not bend.
And hip hop.
I do not pop and lock. I don't. I don't do it.
I do not pop and lock.
I don't bend and I don't do that.
No.
I don't. But I did everything else. And by the time I finished that year with pointe in ballet, my teacher called our mom in and said, I can't teach her anything else. You got to find her somewhere else. And to be fair, our teacher was not a ballet one. She No. was very much trained in Rockette tap.
Yes.
Which was so much fun. But so, you know, I had to find another studio, split studios for a year. Suffered an injury, but still made it through everything. Don't ask me how. And then that year, whenever I split, the new studio asked me to join the competition team. I tried out. I got on. So then I competed. Where the wise do not do that.
Yeah.
It is.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. And it kills you so much more than I would have liked. And I would like to admit,
mm-hmm.
if you're going to get your child into anything, I recommend horseback riding because that took a lot less out of my confidence than dance.
Yeah.
So, you know, I competed and then I got an injury. Could never dance again. Tough luck. That's a story for another day.
Yeah.
But I did that and it was whenever I started going at it hardcore, we had to find a way around me doing things because like when you do turns, you're supposed to spot, like pick a spot with your eyes and just go to that spot every single time you turn. I can't do that. So my dance teacher had to come up with a way of me feeling my ear. So it was when you turn, you have to feel your ear going to the opposite shoulder and just keep feeling that. It's really weird. It makes sense when you see it. It's really hard to explain. And then there was also a lot of professors always had the okay instruction to, if I'm wrong technique-wise, to come and move my body to where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think, is there anything else?
When you were competing, they had to ask them to mark the stage where the back of the stage was and where the front of the stage was because you were getting a little lost and not able to do that, which
because some of the competitions, they happen at really weird places.
Yeah.
And for dance, you should have a specific floor, so like they'll like put down like these like strips of it and they'll like tape them together. But some competitions have certain color backdrops. I can remember one competition in general where I could not tell where the floor ended and that began.
Yeah.
Because they like looked the same color to me. So like from then on, they did have to tape, like put a black line or a white line or something.
Yeah, they didn't, like nothing bad happened at that show when we found this out. But it then became a thing where it was like everyone we go to, you gotta ask them to lay it down. And I think that the competitions were pretty chill about it.
Yeah.
From what I know. But that was kind of, I think, your instructors that handled that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I don't know.
Because it was
another
you.
Thing to note that they also would not tell any of the judges or the competition team that I couldn't, or like anybody in the competition that I couldn't see.
Yeah.
So I always got like a couple critiques here and there about my eyes. I'm just like, I can't help you.
Like, I can't fix that.
I can't fix that at all. Try again. Like,
thank you, though. That's
thanks,
very kind.
Thanks. That's so kind. But I have some funny stories of some judge comments, especially the one time I had a prop and my prop came apart. And you just hear this guy just like, don't freak out. Just keep going. Just keep going. Your prop, it's you're good. You got this. And I actually fixed my prop while I was doing a turn. And I set the prop down perfectly fine. And you just hear him gasp and be like, you're a wizard. That has to be like my favorite comment.
That was a good time.
That was such a fun time.
That was
for
a
me.
Time. So, yeah. So, dance was a whole thing.
Yep.
That was kind of our quote unquote sport that we did other than horseback riding. From there, elementary school, I did piano.
We both did piano
a very long time.
I did not do it for that much long.
You didn't. You got out of it because of your dyslexia.
I did. My dyslexia saved my butt. I liked piano and I was good at it. I just,
yeah.
My dyslexia messed it up.
Yeah. I was in it from elementary all the way until I graduated from high school. I did enjoy it.
You just didn't practice.
I just didn't practice. And the thing is that this is another reason why I swear, like, this should have been a note that I had an ADD or or something, because to sit down and practice, I could not focus. I could not do it. It just up a wall. I could not.
I loved it, but I'd get so frustrated because it was, again, a dyslexia thing. So I'd know what note I was to play, and I'd go to play it, and the disconnect between my brain and my fingers didn't work.
Yeah.
So I'd play the wrong note, even though I knew what the note was.
Right.
So I'd just get frustrated.
Yeah. And see, the thing is, too, is that when I was doing piano, I had a few times where, like, we would find songs that I could just play automatically. Like, I looked through it once and I could play it pretty much perfectly. Those were my favorite songs. Absolutely favorite. And they were the most random songs, too. I can't even remember what any of them were. But I know they were, like, one of them was like a random like Bach or Beethoven or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, there was a random Bach piece.
It was so random, but I loved that song.
Yeah, it was a Bach piece.
So much. I don't even remember what it was. Oh, I'll have to try to find it one day.
On another side note, our piano teacher was blind.
Yes, she was. Yes, she was. And she definitely, I think, kind of held, especially me, to like a higher standard, because she's just like, I know you can't see, but you can do it because I can do it.
Yeah, she was very much like,
and it got to the point. It got to the point too where she's like, you know what? I'm not going to get you to practice. We're not going to get you to practice. It's not going to happen. So you're going to practice here at your lesson, and that's going to be fine. And we're going to figure it out, and it's going to be okay. And I was like, thank you for working with me, because it was never going to happen. Like, we tried everything. We tried, like, if I sat down for so long and I practiced, I would get, like, a sticker or two. And if I got so many stickers, I would get a thing. Didn't work. We would be like, you only have to sit there for a half hour. And we'd set a timer. And I would just stare at that timer the whole time. Like, I would not play. I would stare at it. So it was very much a, this should be a warning flag here.
Yeah, our piano teacher was telling our mom and our dad for me, there's something else wrong. She knows this.
Yeah.
Like, I knew things better than Aria did.
Yeah.
And she's like, there has to be something wrong. She knows the theory. She knows what she's doing.
She just can't
play the correct notes.
Yeah.
Then what, like 2 years later or so, we found out that I have the dyslexia. And then it was like, well, this makes sense on why I can't play.
Yeah.
And it's not that like I was bad. I was actually really good. Whenever I got it.
Yeah, it was.
I was good.
Yeah. Once you got it, you were fine. But it was just.
It was like so long to do it.
Yeah. It took you a very long time. So, yeah. So that was piano for both of us. From there. I mean, when I was in college, I had to take a guitar class. So I picked up guitar for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. I had a good time with that. I loved playing Wagon Wheel. That was my favorite song. I think that was the only song you could actually play. No, I could play I'm Yours by...
Oh, yeah, you could play that one, too.
Mraz, I think his last name is. If I said that wrong, I'm so sorry. But, yeah, that song, I could play that, too. I wanted to try to, like, learn more, but also that required practice and...
refused.
No, for guitar, it was a little easier because also it was graded. So, like, my brain was like, I must get a good grade, so therefore I have to at least attempt to practice.
I'm trying to think. I tried flute.
You did try flute.
I tried flute, and then I got pneumonia.
Yep.
And then that was it. That was it, because then I just couldn't breathe properly to do it.
Yep.
That was it.
That was that.
That was that. Oh, I did sing. I sang.
Oh, yeah. Singing.
High school.
I was like, I know I'm forgetting stuff in high school.
We sang.
We were both very
I was more hardcore
big.
Than you.
Okay. Listen. To be fair.
No, I'm just saying on the fact that I had private voice lessons.
To be fair, I wanted those.
I don't know how you didn't.
I asked for voice lessons so many times, and our parents were just like, no. Absolutely not. No. You're not. No. And I was just like, but no. No, you are not getting lessons. And then when you got lessons, I was just like, are you kidding me?
To be fair, I'm also a soprano.
I know. They don't like my alto-ness.
Nobody does.
Nobody likes altos. But yeah, no. In middle school, I took choir or chorus and went from sixth grade all the way up to when I graduated from high school. I did choir or some form of chorus, like something. Did a lot of singing. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I got into starting in middle school, and that's kind of the reason why I started to not be able to ride as much, was doing theater. Let's see here. It was sixth grade and eighth grade year for me, because they did it every other year in middle school that we did musicals. So I did two musicals then. There was like a camp I went to where I did musicals there. And from, you know, all through high school, did a lot of theater stuff. Had a lot of fun with it. I really enjoyed it. We learned that I did very well as a stage manager. I would have done very well as a stage manager through all of it.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed just being a part of it in some way, shape, or form. I had a lot of fun. But yeah, theater was a huge thing. I did so many productions, so many shows.
And, so many of the same show.
Yes. And I eventually ended up, when I got my contacts, I ended up getting special ones that were very, very dark that I could wear on stage that it would cut out a good bit of the stage light. Like it was like wearing extremely dark sunglasses on stage, which would help to keep my eyes open, because that was like a really big issue, I think, a lot of times, is because we're photophobic. Being in those bright lights,
our eyes want to close.
They automatically. It's not like
we can't tell. Like whenever we yell that, like open your eyes. They're open. Yeah. No, they're not. Well, I can see you.
Yeah, I can see. Like, it looks, because it's a very hard squint that we do. And to a lot of people, it looks like our eyes are closed, but they're not. Like, we're looking out. It is just a very hard squint.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So wearing those definitely helped. Going backstage with them was a whole time. But because, yeah, it was rough. But using them, though, they really did help for a lot of stage stuff.
Well, for me, for musicals and shows, I did some form of voice all through high school, like aria. I was in choir for 3 years. But my sophomore year, I only took voice, which I still participate in the choir concerts with the chorus. I just couldn't fit choir in my schedule. But my other 3 years, I was in choir.
Yeah, I think I had a year or a semester or something that happened to me that for some odd reason.
They only offered a class at like third period, which was when that class was.
And instead I had to like do after school or something, which was totally fine.
Yeah, which is totally fine. We loved him and everything our choir teacher did.
And he worked with us.
He worked with us. It was fine. He knew us. And then it was, I again did my first theater production a lot younger than I probably should have, but that started Belle's roles of being the short things. Yeah, and it did not get any better as I continued on. And then in high school, I didn't participate until my senior year in theater,
right?
Only because of dance competitions. So, you know, I couldn't participate, which was fine. Like, our director at the school, who was our friend, he understood and he, you know, supported me with my decision not to participate. And then I did some summer productions with like community theater.
Yeah. You got into community theater where I never did. I did other things, like other camps and stuff. You did the community theater, which I will say there are times that I wish I would have gotten involved with community theater.
No, I regret life choices in there.
But also part of me is just like, I've been out of the game for so long that to like figure out an audition piece and to do all of that and to have to do it on my own.
I had voice teachers to help with that.
Right. And, to have to do that on my own is just, it's
not worth it.
It's not going to happen. Like, it's just, it ain't.
For me, it was, I did my first show at a very young age, and then our director was like, oh, I'm doing this show at this community theater, and I need short people. And my parents were like, Belle will be there. He did not need me. There were many of other short people, i.e. smaller children than I. But guess what, everybody? I was still there. And I was still one of the oldest short people.
You still did it.
I still did it. And then I did another show because our family friend, her son was doing it, and he's like, do it with me. I don't know why I listened to him and did that, but I did it with him, and they already had this guy picked for the part, and then our friend's son came and sang, and they're like, well, we have to give him the part, but we already promised the part to someone else, so then we had to do two showings of the show. Oh, I hated it. I was also the oldest member of the short people.
Yeah.
I say short people lovingly. It was children. Slowly upgraded my way from Oompa Loompa to Munchkin to children's choir member.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, that should explain so much.
It does. It does.
It does. It explains so much about me. It
explains so much about you.
Yep.
Meanwhile, all my roles, well, that's a whole nother day conversation, because it was all over the place.
You were all over the place.
All over the place.
Only time,
I was a guy.
The only time I wasn't a short person role was for plays, to which case I was normally the mom or the loving wife.
Yep. You were very much typecast. Me,
I was
no
typecast.
One knew where to put me.
Like, I was
literally
typecast.
For the one show that we did, they did not have, like, they had, I think, two guys total at this camp, and they picked Music Man for our show. Where you need a lot more guys.
I love that show, and you need a lot more guys. I remember I loved you playing this part.
And so what happened was, because I was apparently the manliest girl, they said, you're going to be a guy. And they
are the villain.
I was put as the villain, which I had a lot of fun with that, actually.
I remember laughing so much because she was an anvil salesman.
I was an anvil
salesman.
And so
she had this case that held the anvils. And in the show, he drops it on his feet. So I would always bust out laughing that Arya had to drop this suitcase of anvils.
On my foot.
On my foot.
Yep. And yeah, so... But that whole show, though, I went from being the villain to like taking off my coat and changing my bow tie to be a random townsfolk.
Yeah, to be like some random so wife.
I was some random guy. No, I was never a girl in this show.
I swear
never
you were in Pick a Little Talk Little.
Oh, wait, I was, because we didn't have girls. So that was the only time I was allowed to put, I think they gave me a dress to like throw over.
Yeah, you did.
Clothes.
You had to throw over a dress.
I had to throw a dress over top of like the white sleeve
and a dress
button
coat.
Up.
And you had a long sleeve dress coat.
And the pants. Like, I never fully changed, I don't
no,
think.
No, you had to roll up your pants. I remember this. You had to roll up your pants. And, like, guys had to help you roll up your pants to your knees. You'd have to throw on the dress. And then they'd have to force a dress overcoat, like a longer overcoat for a dress with long sleeves, over you. And then, like, try to swap out your hats.
Yes.
In such a quick manner.
I know. It was the weirdest quick change. I've blocked it from my memory, to be honest, because I feel like, because also, mind you, this show went on in the middle of summer in a place that there was no air conditioning.
Yeah, this was a camp.
It was a camp. So I was dying.
Yeah.
Dying, because it was so hot. So ridiculously hot. But yeah.
Yeah,
so,
I remember that, because what's his name had to help you roll up your pants.
I don't know who else. There were so many people that helped me do that quick change. I don't remember.
Yeah, I remember that you being in that one, though. So like, you were like three different people.
I was, yeah. Random townsman number five. I was a random housewife when they needed one occasionally.
And then I was the villain. Carnival was hilarious for that, because I remember you came out with the girls and you just had on like the hat for like the girls, bowed and stuff, and then you like stepped back, the guys ran in, met you at the middle, you like had to have your guys like hat, like random townsman hat, switch it, throw the other two off, and run off stage after them. And then I forget who came out next to bow, and then you came out as the villain.
Again.
It was the awkwardest thing.
It was so rad. Like, honestly, though, as much as I do not remember that show, I feel like I had so much fun with that, because, like, normally, right, in theater, a lot of times they're like, you're a girl, you're going to be a girl. You know what I mean?
That is a lot of it.
You're a guy, you're going to be a guy. And I feel like now they play around a lot more with that.
Yeah.
But like back in the day, it was very much that. And so to be in a theater camp and then be like, you know what? We need you to be a guy. Like, I had the time of my life playing a man.
Yeah.
Like, it was so much fun.
For me, I was a lot of typecast.
You were typecast.
I was typecast for pretty much everything. I will never forget the one. I didn't end up doing the play because production ended up during our standardized testing.
Mm-hmm.
So the parentals pulled me from the play. Oh my gosh. I was never more typecast in my life. It was, the show was Up the Down Staircase, and it was like at a school and like so and so. And I was to play the know-it-all goody two shoes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Never more typecast in your life.
Never more typecast in my life. Literally, my first line was at the opening, and it's a staircase of the school and stuff, and the main character is going up the down staircase. And my character comes out and is, you know, going down the down staircase, sees the professor coming up the down staircase and say, stands there, puts my hands on my hips, stares at him and says, "Professor, you're going up the down staircase." I'm just like, I feel attacked.
You were personally attacked.
Personally attacked. Because then my next line was the morning announcements.
Mm-hmm. Never more attacked in your never entire more life.
And then like a couple scenes later, I'm using all these big words, and like even the adults in the play are looking at each other like, I have no clue what this means.
And
just
you
like,
did.
Yeah. Just like, I hate this.
You have never been more attacked.
I had never been more personally attacked.
You had never been more personally attacked.
In my entire life.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, theater stories, that might be a whole nother day, too, because that was a time.
That was a time.
So then college didn't really add a lot more. Did a lot of the same stuff occasionally. Like, there was an equestrian club that I did some stuff with occasionally when I could. There was a theater group, which my senior year I kind of helped do some back of house stuff, that kind of thing, but nothing like too crazy that like I would consider like a hobby got added. And then life exploded. I feel like the big things that I tried doing, at one point in time I tried doing some like jewelry making, mm-hmm. which didn't go great. Mm-mm. Didn't go bad. It didn't go great. Mm-mm. From there, it was the diamond painting, I think.
No, there was something else in between there.
There might
have
been.
Life exploded again.
There might have been. I know eventually I got into doing diamond painting, which I still love doing that. I have a great time doing that. And it is difficult, not gonna lie. I do have to, you know, kind of sit there with the pen in one hand and the
my phone magnifier
in the other to do it. But I have a lot of fun doing it. And I have to be very careful with like labeling everything and making sure like the right thing goes in the right thing so I don't mix up colors. At least it's all kind of prepackaged. So that does help. But also, like, I just have to be super duper careful in what I do and how I do it. And then,
well, do you want me to go?
Yeah, go ahead. Add some more of yours.
Well, in college, during when the whole world exploded, I got into drawing
mm-hmm.
a bit. And then I got told by my therapist I needed hobbies.
Yep.
In other words, Belle, you need more to do than school. And reading.
You need to find who you are outside of academics. That has still yet to happen. Anyway.
You're getting there.
We're getting there. Maybe. And so then it was the big one for me. Whenever I was really little, before our grandma passed away, she taught me how to crochet.
Mm-hmm.
So I got back into doing that. And I've been doing that. Which, apparently, everybody's like, how are you doing this? And like, I don't find it that difficult. Like, you can really get away with just feeling it, but apparently I'm the weird one. But I also crochet backwards, so like, don't listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's bad. This is what happens when you're a right-handed person taught by a left-handed person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you crochet backwards.
I crochet very much backwards. It's weird. If somebody tries to fix me, it's not gonna happen.
No.
I've been doing this too long this way.
You're set in your ways.
I'm set in my ways. I've been doing it since I was like 11.
Mm-hmm.
So I do that, which is what Aria has now gotten into.
Yes, I have. That's the newest one. And I'm not terrible.
No.
I'm not great. But no. I'm not terrible.
You're the level of a beginner with the heart of an expert.
I am. I am a beginner with the heart of an expert. And you are a intermediate
to advanced with the
heart
of a beginner.
Yeah. Yeah. We've learned this.
I try to sell myself short.
Yeah. We've learned this. But yours turned out really well, your recent things. Mine turned out okay. I just messed up putting it together. And that's okay. We're learning. We're learning and growing. But yeah, no. So crochet has been recent. I did try knitting as well. And I do like knitting. I just need to learn how to like increase stitches and all that, which I messed up desperately terribly. And yeah, it's been a whole time. But yeah, that's the most recent is the knitting, the diamond painting, and the crochet. I know I'm missing some. What else am I missing?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of what else I do in my life, and I'm realizing how boring I am.
I mean, like, of course, there's like, you know, watching movies and TV, like that kind of stuff, which, you know, people count that as a hobby. But for me, I'm kind of like,
I mean, there's this.
Well, yeah, we do this, obviously. This is technically a hobby as well.
Got roped into this.
Yeah, which we've done for reasons. Who knows why?
It was Aria came up with the idea and said, Belle, you're doing this. But Aria, no. Belle, you're doing it.
Well, no, okay. Because, oh, well, that was the thing, too. I was really big into writing, which I still want to write. I just have been at a very hard writer's block. It's been a struggle. But yeah, no. So I wanted to get into writing and Belle suggested a blog. And so that's how actually Book Talk started, is through trying to do a blog. And then
we had the blog, and then we had a 3-hour phone conversation about The Raven.
And we realized that we really should just do a podcast. That would be so much easier. And so then it was just getting the microphone, then, you know, doing that. And bulk recording while Belle was in school. And that's how it started for Book Talk, was just bulk recording.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we're together, we don't necessarily need to bulk record anymore, which is nice. Like, we can if we need to, but, like,
this is currently kind of being bulk recorded.
Yeah, kind of, but not really.
This is earlier than what we would have recorded.
Yeah. So, there's that. But, yeah, so, yeah, this is a little bit bulk recording, but not much. Not how it used to be. I had to have everything planned out for months in advance. And then we had to sit down and just record for hours and just get as many episodes done as we possibly could over the course of like a week. And
some of those episodes, you'll just hear me just getting more and more tired and aggravated.
Uh-huh. Yep. And so, yeah, so that's how Book Talk started. And then we decided, hey, let's add another one because why not? And so
We were like, let's add another one. Well, what do we want to add? And then Aria's friend was like, do this. And then Aria was like, yes. And now here we are.
And now that's how Blind Life came about, really. Yeah, I think I did open it up to my friends, like, hey, like, you know, we're thinking of doing another podcast. Like, what all would you be interested in listening in? Like, you know, and they're like, well, you could talk about your lives. Like, that would be really interesting and really cool. And it was just like, oh, I don't think it's interesting or cool, but all right.
I think I'm boring, but I don't know. I'm
boring, but that's fine. And so, yeah, so that's how this show got started, is through a couple of my friends just being like, talk about your lives. And here we are. So, yeah. So that's another hobby. What else?
In college, I wasn't really involved in many like hobby things. I was involved in organizations.
You did a lot of like schoolwork and stuff. And
organizational work.
And hence why your therapist said that you must find yourself outside of all that. Yep.
Yep. And even whenever I was involved in an organization, I was in the position of treasurer for, like, most of my organizations.
Mm, yep.
In which case,
still education.
Still education, because I was a finance major.
Yep.
Oh, I'm trying to think of what else.
I recently got into D&D, which that's considered a hobby, I think. Yes, I know. Belle does not like it.
It's dumb.
But so when we moved down here, I started talking to somebody who pretty much had said, like, hey, if you like fantasy stuff, like, you'll probably like D&D. You should check out Dimension 20. And so I found like some of the episodes on YouTube from the Fantasy High campaign, which if you're into D&D, Highly recommend it. And even if you're not, like, it's don't just a fun it. Fantasy story. Like, it really is. I find it fun. And mm-hmm. oh, hush.
I'm not a fantasy person.
You're not a fantasy person. So
I have my reasons.
Yes, you have your reasons. So anyway, so yeah, so fantasy D&D has, you know, I really enjoyed it and then found a place where I can play once a month. And that's been really fun for me. And just learning how to play, learning how to the game, all that jazz. I still don't know much. I'm still a baby. But I've definitely learned at least a little bit. I know enough to be dangerous at this point, but it's been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed that.
I really have not enjoyed listening to it.
You're still alive. You are still alive, darling. Barely. So yeah, I'm trying to think. Let's see, we talked about writing. We talked about crochet, which is the new one. Mm-hmm. We talked about diamond painting. My life really was boring, like, between college and when the world exploded.
Do you want to know what your life consisted of?
Taking care of you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What does my life consist of now?
Still taking care of you.
Taking yeah. care of you and your dog. We've added a thing.
Yeah. We've added, well, no, two things. I also have a cat.
Well, true. But yeah, no, reading's still a huge one, though. I mean, again, hence why Book Talk exists. This has become a big thing. The crochet is slowly becoming a very big thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So I think that about sums it up. There's probably like one or two we might have missed, and maybe we'll circle back to it another day, or if we remember we'll just be like, ah, we're gonna just tell a story about this. But yeah, no, I think that's about all of them, though. I think that's the long and the short of it.
Yeah, I think I just know I'm quite boring. I'm not interesting.
You know.
I read and I crochet. That's pretty much all I do. And schoolwork.
Yeah.
Which involves reading. I have not been reading because school has been kicking my butt.
Yeah.
It has murdering my soul.
You're slowly starting to get into Lego sets.
Oh, yeah. I used to like doing them whenever I was little.
Yeah.
And I'm slowly starting to get back into it because other lawyers are like, you need to do something with hand-eye coordination. And I can't play sports. And I can't dance anymore. And I can't get to a horse. So
here we are.
Here I am with crochet and Lego.
Yes, very much so. But yeah, so I think that about sums it up from what I can think of. Again, we might talk about some of these other hobbies a different day. Who knows? We think we know, and then I change my mind. That is the sum up of my life. But that being said, we want to thank you guys for coming along today as we just talked about our different hobbies and random stories about hobbies. Of course, if you liked this episode, if you like what you've been listening to, please consider following the podcast and sharing the episode with your friends. It really would help us to grow the show, and we would appreciate the support those actions would give. And hey, if you want to leave a review, that would be really cool too. And then, what are we going to be talking about next time?
Friendships and family.
Okay.
Where did the one? What? Oh, okay. Never mind. You changed things.
I changed things around.
Yeah, and you didn't tell me.
Oh, I'm sorry. So yeah, so that's what we will be talking about next time. So don't forget that it is a blind life, and we'll see you guys next time. Bye.